Welcome to Through My Lens with Clay Daly.
Portrait photographer, product photographer, podcaster, YouTuber, sometimes considered the Warden of the North, Devon Warren, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, Clay.
How's it going?
It's going. yeah, I think, you know, I guess we're in a time of uncertainty.
Yes.
So it's going. I'm just using the time to work on my craft, work on my business. And I guess I'm finding out a lot of things that I felt I didn't have enough time to do. Mm-hmm. I just really didn't want to do.
Because
there's some things I'm doing more of, and there's some things that I'm just like, I didn't start it even though I have more time. So I'm realizing like those are just things I really didn't want to do anyway. So I'm good with that. You know.
So before we get on to expectations, after this quarantine, coronavirus, COVID-19, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
My name is Devon Warren. I am a portrait and product photographer from New Jersey, serving the New York tri-state areas, which would be New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Philadelphia. I've been doing professional photography since, every time I say this is getting longer, for the past 7 years. I have my own private studio. I also do events. Recently, and with a nice push from Clay, I really got into film photography over the past, maybe 5 years.
Yeah,
I would say. Time is moving. Maybe over the past 5 years. So I'd say about 2015, 2016, I got into film photography, and that has taken on a whole life of its own and actually has helped me in my profession and in my digital photography.
That's awesome.
And yeah, so now we're here in 2020 trying to figure out how to be a COVID-19 photographer.
Yes.
A whole new title.
Oh, yeah. So before we continue into the COVID-19 branch of this discussion, tell me, how does having a studio work for you in terms of your whole career? Like what happened when you got your own studio? You know, how has that helped your profession?
I think from being regarded as a professional photographer, it definitely helps, because now people look at me like, oh, you have a real studio, you're a real photographer, which is weird because you don't necessarily need a photography studio to do photography. But I feel like it validates you, and it in some people's eyes, for me, it became like justification for, you know, my business. Here in, you know, this part of the country, the Northeast, the weather is not conducive for shooting outside on a regular basis. So having somewhere to shoot indoors is great. I mean, we have great landscapes and cityscapes and stuff to shoot with, but our weather, like today, it's windy and it probably feels about 40 degrees and it's May.
Yikes.
So, you know, you would think, okay, in the spring I can get my photography going, you know, but we just don't have the weather that I find in other parts of the country. And like, I know a lot of people that, you know, in Florida, the weather's great. You guys deal with rain for about 15 minutes and then you're back shooting, you know.
Actually,
so
it's kind of hot shooting in the rain. It's kind of sexy.
Exactly. So you got to win-win,
yes.
You know? So, also I found with, having your own studio, you can kind of hone in on your craft and your lighting, and, you know what works in your go-tos, and you're not always dealing with, different locations, different setups. You can kind of hone in on the things that you want to hone in on.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I've used my studio as a place to help other photographers and creatives, you know, opening up my space to help them grow, whether they want to do it professionally or they want to do it as a hobby. You know, I've used my studio to do that. So that's why I've always tried to maintain a studio, because a lot of people won't take the leap.
Mm-hmm.
But they want to have the access. So I've always used my studio to give other photographers and creatives access, whether they're, you know, videographers or painters or whatever they are. I've always tried to use my studio as a space where other creatives can come and they can create.
That's cool. That's cool. So, 2020 here, we're dealing with a crisis that has hit the whole world. What are you expecting from the photography industry after this crisis passes?
I have a lot of questions, and I think a lot of my questions are hard to answer because I feel like from the time this thing started, we haven't been getting accurate information. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to say, you know, when we first shut down here, they said it would be 2 weeks. You know, we're on month number three.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I think here in New Jersey, they're going to slowly start opening up non-essential businesses, mm-hmm. but they're opening them up with kind of a curbside pickup type of thing. So mm-hmm. you're not allowed in the store. You can line up outside the store, and like even shoe stores, beauty supply, those places, they're going to have lines outside.
Wow.
So to maintain social distancing, and you can go place your order at the door like you would do food, and they'll bring you your stuff, and the transaction will be done that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how or what the rules are going to be necessarily for photography studios, since, you know, you have to come in.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not shooting you through the window, and you know, so it's,
yeah.
I'm wondering how that's going to be. Like I said, I may be good for the summer months. I can book stuff and shoot outside and maintain safe social distancing. But some of the stuff I do or that I'm hired to do may be a little more difficult to do and perform outside, you know, mm-hmm. shooting people's product lines, that sort of thing, with them wanting to be there, their team wanting to be there. I guess a lot of stuff is going to have to be done virtual.
Mm-hmm.
Which is going to take more time, and I'll just have to work out, you know, how the expense is going to work.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily, because, you know, what might have been an hour or 2 hour shoot, if you're going back and forth online, can easily double the time that it's going to take to get stuff done.
True.
And so I'm actually trying to figure out how to make these things happen. You know, regular product photography where people trust you and they're like, okay, here's a product that you can go pick them up,
mm-hmm.
take them to the studio and shoot them. That won't change. But, you know, I do a lot of portraits, so I don't know how that's going to change. I also do a lot of events.
True.
And conferences.
Mm-hmm.
So none of those are scheduled. So I don't think any of those large, especially a lot of stuff I do is in New York City. I don't think they're going to allow any of that to take place. Any large events, whether it be large weddings, school-related events, conferences, where I was doing headshots at the conference,
yeah.
I don't think any of that stuff is going to take place. So, and that's a large chunk out of my business.
Mm.
You know, those pay very well.
True,
you know, because so I don't know. And, you know, just like for the wedding photographer, I don't know the scale of the weddings that are going to take place.
Yeah.
You know, it may just be limited to immediate family,
yeah.
or it may be dictated by the size of the venue that you can afford to book.
True.
You know, so there's a lot of unknowns, but what I do know is that I'm going to make it happen regardless of what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the beauty of, you know, honing in on your craft. So whether I have to make a business of just shooting products, I know how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer to be a portrait photographer, but if I have to maintain my business shooting product, I will.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll shoot portraits for myself where I can control the situation.
True.
So those things, hopefully we won't be dealing with this weird kind of thing, because my clients can't wear masks.
Yeah, that'd be
kind of
odd.
You know, I mean, if they're going to say, like, all businesses, you're required to, you know, have masks, like, my clients can't wear masks.
In your situation, yeah. actually, as the photographer, if at least one of you wears the mask, or everyone else in the building, like, if they have, you know, a chaperone with them or whatever, if everyone else but the model or the subject wears a mask, that actually would be something that I think would be okay, actually. But you,
yeah, I mean, in theory.
Yeah.
Well, know, the thing is, I don't know what the rules are going
to
be.
Yeah, well, yeah, true. If it comes to rules, yeah. But if they're reasonable, the rules should reflect something like this, right? I mean, if you have a room full of people and one of them is not wearing a mask, but everyone else is, potentially you should be safe.
Yeah. And that's what I'm hoping. And I'm just planning for
worst case scenario,
and the other things that I'll have to do to make people feel comfortable and also keep myself safe. Is it gonna be a situation where, I mean, everything was always like wiped down after each session, but is it gonna be, okay, we really gotta wipe down everything, like all the floors need to be mopped, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, are we spraying people's shoes when they come in the door? Are we making people take their shoes off? Mm-hmm. Like these sort of things. Because, you know, doing photography and doing a whole session, like, you know, people are all over and people, you know, are touching a lot of things and come in contact with a lot of the area of the studio. So, you know, it could be a little bit of an undertaking to get everything cleaned, you know, to try to, you know, you're wiping down the walls, you're wiping down the floors, you're wiping down the furniture, you're wiping down the equipment, because all this stuff is being touched, you know, during the session. So, it may be a situation where, again, you're increasing the length of time that you're spending on each session, because you really wouldn't be able to do any back-to-back type of session. Like, you know, I'm talking about cleaning 1,400 square feet of space, you know, like I'm really trying to, you know, and really doing it effectively, you know, how long is that going to take? What's that going to look like? And what's going to be the new expectation of places you go into that, you know, you're going to spend time in and do anything that's not just like in and out type of deal, you know? So if I'm going to have people come in and sit down for a portrait session, or they're going to be using my stuff and props and all that stuff. And, you know, also, you know, what do I have to put in place as far as people bringing stuff into the studio? You know, do I have to have, are they wiping stuff down at the store? I mean, at the door, you know, so it's like, all right, I see you have your camera bag there. Can you just wipe everything down? Like, I don't know. I don't know. And I don't know the extent of, and that's why I said, like, it's difficult because we don't know what information is accurate and what is stuff that, you know, Facebook knowledge. You know, so that's the thing. And I hopefully over time we'll get like accurate information, like, yes, all you need to do is this. The virus will live on this surface for this long. This, I mean, you hear everything from a few minutes to a few days to, you know, whatever. So, you know, it's
all
difficult.
All uneducated guesses by educated,
somewhat
educated people.
Somewhat educated people making uneducated guesses. And so I guess for the leaders that are going to slowly open up the state and the cities, because the governor could say one thing, but the town I'm in, they could have their own rules. So that is something that I'm looking into to see, all right, how am I going to operate and how is that going to mess with my workflow. You know, because a big part of what I feel, the reason I'm able to get the images that I'm able to get is because of my interaction with the client and the subject. You know, so when you lose that interaction, it's difficult because I'm used to standing right next to somebody helping them pose. You know, so they can see me and see how their body is supposed to be. And it's going to be different trying to do that from across the room or, you know, six feet away, you know, it's just, you kind of lose that kind of interaction. So hopefully things will become safer over time where we're not as worried about people, you know, having the virus. I know in New York City now, you know, they have over 700 testing locations. So they're like, if you are worried, get a test, you know? So hopefully that becomes more of, you can walk into, you know, your local CVS, Walgreens, wherever, and, you know, you can get tested and people feel confident that, okay, I don't have it. I haven't contracted it, you know, or they make something that you can test yourself at home, you know, an accurate test that you can take at home that doesn't, that changes color or, you know, that sort of thing. And I think, you know, we have so much technology for everything else. It's just going to take the right people to work on it to develop it, you know. So, I, you know, being that people are, you know, can be asymptomatic and that sort of thing, I would like to feel like, okay, I could test myself before I go shoot a newborn. Right? Like, I don't want to bring COVID to a newborn. You know? So if it's something that they have that you can, you know, like a home test or something like that, that'd be great. But I think that's down the line. The immediate, my immediate response is trying to figure out more stuff that I could do on my own in the studio with maybe just an assistant or stuff that can be shot outside. You know, with the safe, you know, outside, say social distance, I'll invest in a new Tamron 80, what is it, 70 to 180?
180,
And I'll be good. Like I can shoot, you know, I can shoot groups and I can shoot individuals and maintain a safe distance and still provide excellent service. You know, that's my thing. I could, you know, I could do it and not provide excellent service and make money, but that's not what I'm in it for. You know, that's not what I'm in it for.
So what do you, so sort of from your photography, your style, you think things are going to change in terms of like, because right now you're shooting with mostly what, when you're doing portraits, what is your focal length?
90 millimeters.
Okay. So you're kind of already at a range that would give you some distance.
Yeah, but 90 millimeters for a tight headshot is not that far away.
Okay. So you're going to look at something more like 135?
Maybe 135 so I can back up a little bit and still get that same compression.
Yeah.
Or, you know, something like that. I think that'll be a good look. I mean, I'm going to have to experiment because I'm a proponent of if it works, just use that. And I got the 90 millimeter and it works and I know how to use it and I know it. So it would be, it would also be learning another lens. Kind of getting what I need because, you know, it's one of those things where you just want to, you want to stick with what you know. You know? So.
Very true. But sometimes, you know, things like this throw a wrench into the works and then you're kind of left wondering, okay, how do I move forward if I want to keep doing this?
Yeah, I think there's going to be a way. You know what I mean? I think there's always a shift in whatever we're doing. You know, and you just have to be able to adjust. It's sort of like when, you know, I equated to like when film went out, right? Everybody was like, oh, digital is this and digital is that. And there's some people that, that made the change. You know, and there's other people who didn't and then they play catch up.
So I think things are going to be different, but I think we have to pivot and we have to find new ways of doing the same thing and just accepting the fact that they're going to be different. And figuring out from a business standpoint how to maintain financially and what's going to be important, what things are going to go away and what things are going to be more important. I'm really leaning towards product photography because I feel like that is going to be more important as people are not willing to go and see it themselves. So, and as some businesses that were brick and mortar are not able to maintain because people aren't coming out as much, may need that service to sell their products online. So if you had a small shop and now your small shop can't operate because, you know, people aren't coming out as much as they used to, then you're going to have to pivot and do something online. So that may open up something for product photographers because now people are going to be choosing based on who has the best website, you know, who has the best social media, because that's the only way they're going to experience what you have. So I'm leaning towards that because I feel like that's a market that's not going to go away. And it's something that's will be steady because I'm feeling like, one, a lot of people may lose their jobs because companies aren't going to be able to maintain, and then people are going to maybe try to do things that are entrepreneurial, and those things will require images. So You know, just looking down that road, I really enjoy shooting people, but there is a lot of satisfaction with not having to deal with a person and shooting products. You know, products don't talk back. They stay where you pose them, that sort of thing. So, you know, it's hard to say because we don't have all the answers, but planning ahead, that's definitely something that I'm adding to my, well, something that I'll be pushing more as services that I offer, you know, business to business.
That's a good point. What do you expect or what do you think your clients will expect, the ones that, you know, let's say if you are doing portrait photography, what you know your clientele, what do you think they would expect from you as the creative?
Well, one, I already have a reputation of having a clean environment. So I think they will, hopefully they'll remember that when they're looking to choose the next photography or recommend somebody to for photography services. I think they're still going to be looking for excellent service, you know, and that's what I've always stressed about my business is more that, because I always felt like you can go to anybody and they can take your picture. You know, if you're dealing with portraits, it's about the experience for a lot of people.
I agree.
You know, some people want to feel like a supermodel. Some people just want to feel comfortable. Some people just want to get it over with. So, you know, you have to be able to provide all those things. You have to, you know, figure out the lingo and how to connect with people to make them feel comfortable. You have to know what you're doing to get people in and out the door quickly, you know, and, you know, you have to figure out how to cater to some people so that they can have the experience that they want, you know, and I think that's what builds, you know, customers, and that's eventually what builds a clientele of customers that will, you know, continually refer you and come back to you.
Agreed. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Alrighty, so I am really happy to have you on. You know, we, as maybe some people don't know, but you and I do a podcast together called Most Valuable Photography Podcast.
Yes.
And people can go look for that podcast in all of their podcatchers, Spotify, all of those places like iTunes. Give us a little bit, a little tip for photographers who are just starting out or who are seasoned. Just give them a tip, something they may not know about portraiture or product photography.
I think the biggest thing and one thing that people overlook is understanding light is probably the biggest and most important thing you can learn and understand in photography. A lot of the images that people think are great are because of the lighting. You could almost remove the subject and put another person there and it would still be an amazing photograph. I think there's like two things. There are people who shoot famous things and famous people. And it's kind of like where we think those images are great because of the access that they received. It's like, okay, you shot this person, this very famous person, and everybody didn't get to do that. So that makes this a great image. Or you were there at this period of time where it might have been dangerous to go out or a dangerous situation, or you just caught a moment that nobody else captured, and that's a great, you know, photo. And I think sometimes in those photos, the technical aspect of it is not as important, because you're capturing something that's kind of one-on-one. But if you're talking general, like portrait photography, product photography, well, landscapes and those sort of things, you just have to know when the light is right. You can't really control the sun. So you would have to understand lighting, though, to know that I need to go out at this time to get this image. And even in your editing, you would know, like, how things are supposed to be adjusted. If you can understand that, that's going to take you way further than I would say the majority of the photographers. I feel like there's even photographers who are quote unquote like noteworthy photographers that I can look at their images and see they still really don't understand light. Mm-hmm. You know, they really don't understand what they should be looking for or how to manipulate light. And I see a lot of them, even when they do live tutorials, like they mess up and then they fix it by, this is my favorite photographer cop out. Yeah, that's a little underexposed, but you know what? I really like this. There's something about it. Like, you know, just saying that you like it makes it okay. But like, no, you messed up. That's not what you were going for. Yeah. And I'm not saying that accidents, you know, some accidents don't make some great images. But if you're teaching me how to do this to get this look and then you don't do it, you messed up.
Yeah.
You know, but the favorite cover up is like, oh, you know what? But I kind of really like this, you know?
I really like this a lot, actually.
You do, yeah. And that's basically them not understanding, you know, what they should be doing or, you know, not taking the time to sharpen their skills enough to know, like, okay, I need to do this to do this, or having the skill set to fix it on the fly, you know? And that's probably a lot of photographers who work with really good assistants, you know? And then you have other photographers who aren't great photographers, but are amazing retouchers.
Yeah.
You know, they can retouch their images to perfection, you know? And they can take a bad photo and make it amazing. So, you know, if I was giving advice to a new photographer, it's like, you got to understand light. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, as I said in our last podcast, is get the camera out of the way, you know, get the gear out of the way. And the way you do that is you have to learn it backwards and forwards. You know, if you had to get in your car, and every time you got in the car, you had to be like, okay, put my foot on the brake. Okay, I'm going to start the car. Okay, is it R, right? You put in an R. Okay, I'm going to put it in R. That's going to make the car go backwards. Okay, I need, you know, if you had to do all those steps, but that's the way I see people with photography. You know, they're looking at their camera and they're like, okay, shutter speed. Wait, I'm fixing the aperture? Is it, you know, if you're going through all those steps, forget about taking a picture, you know. It's like, forget about driving. You're going to have an accident.
Yeah.
Like, you're focused on, like, the car is too in the way.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's too much.
Yeah.
You need to get that stuff out of the way so that you can then begin to focus on the lighting and all the other little nuances that would take, like, a okay photograph to an amazing photograph, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
good advice. And listeners, just come to Most Valuable Photography. That's the kind of stuff we talk about there.
Yes.
Yes. That was just a little hint of that.
Yeah, that was a little preview.
Yes, a preview.
Of MVP.
Yes. So please do, listeners, go check out that podcast. This is an advertisement on Through My Lens for MVP.
Yes.
Tell us where people can find you.
I guess you can, easiest thing to do is find me on social media. I think that's where we're at these days. So you can find me at Devon Warren Photo. That's DevonWarrenPhoto. And that's on all social media, Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, wherever you're looking, I'm there.
Cool. Awesome. And listeners, please do go check out all of those places where he's at. Also, the podcast, don't forget. We're both on there. So if you like me, you'll like him. Thank you so much for listening to the show, everyone. And please do, and you know, check out all of the links in the show notes. We'll chat next time.
Thanks for having me.
I appreciate you coming on. So happy Devon Warren came onto the show. He's always been supportive, a great person to chat with, and he's my co-host on Most Valuable Photography. So I really, really was happy to have Devon on Through My Lens. I really appreciate you. Thank you, listeners. Please do support the show. You can go to cwdaily.com/support, and the links are there for supporting the show. Anything you can give is appreciated. if you can't donate anything to the show, of course, you can share, retweet the show far and wide. Thank you so much, and you'll hear me in the next episode. Ciao.